Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Sports Day. Well, round 10 continues tonight at Metricon Stadium, the 2020 home of the Richmond Tigers. And all eyes will, of course, be on the Lions' first 10 minutes to see whether the dreaded 4-day break curse has impacted on them, just like it did to Port Adelaide last night till halftime, and like it did all week last week for the Demons when they completely imploded. The Tigers are slight favourites, having had a 6-day break, and of course they have Dusty, one of the genuine superstars of the modern game. And of course, Lachie Neale will be there as well, the best performer of the year. Charlie Cameron is also on display, which begs the question, which superstar would you have as your first choice in today's game? Which superstar gives you the most value for money? For the last 100 years, the answer has always been the centre-half forward or the key full forward. But does that still hold? So who would you take? Would you take a superstar ruckman? Would you take a Grundy or a Nat Nui, for instance? A power mid-forward like Dusty or Fife? A small forward, Eddie, Charlie, Papley come to mind at the present time. A key forward, there's been millions of those over the years, Carey being the greatest of them all. A key intercept defender, McGovern, would be the classic right now, or simply the key negative defender. So give us a call. 13 13 32 is the Harcourt's open line. 13 13 32. Lee Matthews will join us to give us his view, but we'd like yours as well. 13 13 32. Scoop, before Lee Matthews, there's been a bit of news around, and not great news for the developing players.
No, that's right, Jared. Good evening to you and to everyone. Hope's gone, really, for our under-18 and potential draftees. The NAB League has been cancelled, both the boys' and the girls' under-18 seasons. Obviously, the latest declaration of the state of disaster for the Victorian state means that really it's just too hard for them to get on the field. Now, the AFL, I think, will hope to try to get some sort of games between Vic Metro and Vic Country squads later in the year, depending on how the restrictions go, to give clubs...
Go back to the old carnival scenario.
That's right. Give clubs some sort of idea. Yep. Who will go where in the draft. But, I mean, just to give a quick insight, Jared, I know it's a long way away, but Adelaide have 2 first-round picks, Brisbane have 2 first-round picks, North have 2, and Geelong, with everything that happened with Tim Kelly, have 3. So, you know, it is weighted who is affected more than other clubs here.
We're lucky that it's happened in this era, because never ever before have recruiters been better served by vision and by data.
Yep.
I mean, they can go right back to the under-12s for most of these kids, both, well, particularly the young boys. So they've got plenty of work to do. They'll be sitting in front of screens. They'll be looking at the data, and they will be making their best assessments as to who is going to play better and improve with maturation. But, Scoop, before that, who are you going to take? Which superstar do you reckon gives you the best value right now?
I'm taking Lachie Neale, just for consistency. My opinion, he's been the number one player in the league since the start of last year.
He's so you're going the accumulating midfielder as your choice?
Yeah, over the forward half creator and the defensive distributor. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. The next bloke that gives us his view has seen many of them. In fact, he was the greatest of the 20th century. I'd probably go for the nuggety Ruck Rover who can go to the goal square, Lee, and break a couple of posts every
and
now
900.
And again. Welcome to you.
Absolutely, yeah. Good evening. Yeah, I'm at Metricon here. Actually, I've had a bit of a mishap. I opened the window and I think I'm going to ping the hamstring. I'm not sure.
Get the ice on it, Lou.
No, very minor one, but I just say that's what my body's like these days. I've pulled the window, slide it open, and I just said it felt a bit of a crampy twinge, Jerry, but I'm going to be okay, and I'm looking forward to tonight. This is the third game in a row where the Lions have actually been the visiting team.
Yep.
Against was Melbourne, Essendon, tonight Richmond down here at Metricon.
Lee Matthews is here for Macca's. Macca's drive-through, fast, safe and contact-free. It's been an interesting footy frenzy, Lee. There's been a lot of dud performances by various clubs, a couple of really close games, but this one just about has it all on paper.
got to say I'm really looking forward to it because these are two of the genuine premiership threats. Yeah, there's been a lot of footy on TV, and I must have to get a life because I'm tending to watch games to see how the umpires umpiring tonight. and I think to myself, this has got nothing. Don't even think about stuff like that. But I can't help but turn on the TV, and I'm like, well, how are they going to adjudicate the holding the ball tonight? Yep. Last night I thought they adjudicated it really fairly, from my opinion, Jerry. But anyway, but tonight is about two teams that are genuine premiership contenders.
We'll get stuck into that later, Lee, because there was a really interesting discussion between David King and Jason Dunstall as to what should constitute a tackle and what is legal play and fair play, etc. But let's go to the superstar of the competition. And if you've got a thought, the number's 13, 13, 32. What player would you like to select, Lee, if you had to be able to pick one superstar and start your team build with that particular position?
I go with Dustin Martin at the moment. I mean, he's only started to play at the level he's capable of the last couple of weeks. So he's just here. But I saw him last Wednesday night against the Bulldogs. And, like, he's a player I think Richmond have worked out the last few years. Don't waste him down in your back 50.
Yep.
Just get him in at the centre bounces. But mainly, he's just playing like a forward half creator. You'll get deep forward and be a target player at times. He's so good one-on-one that when he gets the ball in a bit of congestion, all of a sudden he ends up out of congestion and is able to distribute the ball. So I just think at his best, Martin is the match winner of the whole competition.
But as a genre, do you think it's those power forwards that are now the most important? I think Nat Fyfe's probably the only other one at the present time. Malcolm Blight was a bit of one of those guys. A key ruck rover who mainly did his good work forward of the centre. But, I mean, ultimately, I think if you ask that question over the years, it's always been a reflex answer, the power forward.
And it has been. Like, the best centre forward, usually. I mean, the running, tall, marking, yeah, the Careys and the Browns and the Rewalds and those kind of players. I mean, they're so hard to find, those kind of players. But we seem to be in an era where defence is kind of overwhelming those tall, marking players. I mean, Josh Kennedy's had a couple of good weeks, so all of a sudden he's popped up.
Yep.
Charlie Dixon has been pretty good all year, but he's only getting two or three marks a game and kicking a couple of goals. It's just, compared to the rest of them, He's probably been the most valuable. But to be honest, a Martin-type player in any era would be just as valuable as the Carey at his best. I mean, because what he... I mean, I saw last Wednesday night, he had 26 disposals. Now, when he gets mid-20s, he wins the game for his team. Now, that's not really high numbers, but he had 14 contested possessions, so he wins the ball himself. Now, three centre square clearances, four normal clearances around the ground, eight inside 50s. He distributes the ball inside 50 really well, kicked three goals, set up a couple. I mean, when he plays that kind of game, I don't think anyone else does that. Petrarca's staying doing something similar, but not to the level that Martin can do at his best. So, if whatever you call his position category, Jared,
yep,
when you've got a Martin playing it, I reckon that's the most valuable position that you can have.
What about the ruckman, Lee? There's so much discussion, ruckman, hit-outs to advantage, just total hit-outs, et cetera, their impact, ground ball, get ruckman like Brody Grundy. You've got your Nick Natanui's, who was clearly a contested beast and hits the ball into space, probably better than anybody I've seen since Simon Madden. You've got Max Gorn, who essentially has got magnificent hands, but they're not getting the impact from him at the present time.
Well, Natanui probably is the best at his best. But, I mean, we can sort of jump up and down. Like, five or six times a game, he might give a really decisive hit out that contributes. I mean, the one that set up Josh Kennedy for the goal in that last weekend's game, or either centre bounces. He might get sort of five or six that actually really create the clearance. So, but it's five or six. You're not talking 20 of them.
Mm.
But I think at his best, he's probably the most destructive, but I wouldn't have thought he's the most consistent. I don't think he's destructive. He's not destructive that often, but when he is, he's a super talent.
No late changes for tonight's game. Lee, as an independent observer, I know it's hard with Brisbane, has Lachie Neale from Fremantle to Lachie Neale to Brisbane surprised you with his improvement, given he was a two-time BNF winner at the Dockers?
Well, maybe just sometimes. It's a matter of how much you see other teams, particularly the Perth teams, that play outside of time zone a little bit. Sometimes you just don't see a lot of them. But you always thought Lachie Neale was a good player. Maybe he was overwhelmed a bit by Nat Fyfe and even David Mundy early on. God, but he and Charlie Cameron, I mean, when you think about it, everyone is trying to build the formula to build a really good team. It doesn't alter all that much. You've got to draft well. You've got to do some good recruiting from other clubs. And when Cameron came up, yeah, he was sort of a bit secondary to Eddie Betts at the Crows. But Lachie Neale come over from Fremantle. They've just been outstanding. Like, just outstanding. Almost best in the game in their position. So then you get Oscar McInerney, who started off at Melbourne. He was third string ruckman at Melbourne about 4 years ago and before he came up. So, and then Mitch Robinson, I mean, you get a few players from other clubs that seem to actually find another gear, and they all sort of come together at the run time. And then you got Rayner and McCluggage, the draftees, and a couple of academy players which helps, like local Queenslanders, Hipwood and Harris Andrews. So they've got a good team together and a good off-field group as well, but they've got a good group of players that have all evolved this last year or two.
There's the siren, which authenticates your claim, Lee, that you're actually at the ground.
I'm definitely here.
That is fantastic news. Before we go to the break, though, can you just help me out with your thoughts on this bit of audio from last night's game?
It's hard when a player tries to duck underneath a tackle not to make some sort of high contact.
It's just great support run.
Is this a high tackle when they duck like that?
Well, you've got to pay it. You've got to challenge the tackler to be perfect. That's what the dogs are doing the other way.
But if a bloke ducks his head right down like that, how can you be perfect? What hope have you got?
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you on that, but that's a long discussion. But I get the feeling Jason doesn't like guys that duck their head.
I just think he made it impossible for the tackler not to get him high.
Yeah.
He ducked the head and went at him trying to get underneath him. I'm just not sure what we expect a tackler to do in that circumstance.
And I get the feeling, Lee, that David King would have liked 10 more minutes to have that discussion. I know that you've been strongly of the view that perhaps you don't have to make it easy for the tackler.
Well, not strongly of the view. Why do you make it easy for the tackler? I mean, it beats me. I mean, we know that over our time in footy, Jared, the number of bodies around the ball and the number of tackles have gone up like 300 or 400%. So, in other words, if you pick up the ball now, not only are you going to have one tackler about to tackle you, it could be a choice of 3 or 4 could lay the tackle. So, no, I listened to that a couple of times there, because that's really the philosophy that we often talk about. Some people's philosophy, and mine certainly is, and I think yours is, because we speak about footy often, is to really protect and give all the favours to the bloke who's got his hands on the ball. But there's other people in the footy world, and Jason's one of them, who sort of tends to want to support the tackler. I'm not quite shy, but everyone has their variety of views, and that was what that was like. Because Kingy then argued, well, why have you got to be easy to tackle? And that's the case. I mean, what we've got to do, to be honest, is both umpires, and if you could do it within the rule, make it harder to lay a legal tackle. Because every reference in the rule book is to a legal tackle. Now, legal means it's not high, it's not above the shoulders, it's not a trip, and it's a knot in the back. Well, for those of us who watch a lot of footy, the in the back is paid about 1 out of 10. You know, like if you're lying on the back of a player who's lying on the footy, isn't that in the back before you worry about the holding the ball? But that was a really good discussion, I thought, between Jason and Kingy about the two different attitudes to the physical contact nature of the game.
This is Sports Day for Red Energy and Care. More with Lee Matthews at Metricon Stadium right after this. He's at the Tigers and the Lions, and the reading from the Gospel is close.
Hey, we're here for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy and Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. You can join us anytime on the Harcourts open line, 13 13 32. For all things real estate, give them a call. If you'd like to talk to Lee Matthews, now's your opportunity. Scoop, before we go back to Lee, you've got the ins and outs for the Demons.
Yes, who are obviously up against the Crows tomorrow night as part of a doubleheader. So quickly to the Crows: Fogarty, Mackay, McKessie, Schoenberg, Scholl, McHenry, Walker and Duday are in. Have a listen to some of these outs, Jared. McPherson managed. Gibbs has been dropped again. Strawn's been dropped. Hardigan's managed. Riley Knight's been dropped. Rory Atkins has been dropped. That is pretty significant. Mm. McAdam has been managed and Stengel has been managed. Interesting changes at the D's as well, Lee. Vandenberg, Tomlinson, Neil Bullen and Ben Larin. Pickett's injured and then three have been dropped. Mitch Hannon, Oscar McDonald and Tom McDonald. Lee, I just wanted to ask you about the situation with Nathan Jones, because with Tomlinson coming back in, and that was known quite early today, there were suggestions that given a wingman was coming in, it could be Jones that misses out. He's there on 289 games. He's already been left out of the side once this year. How would you be handling that as coach, given the prestige in which he's held at that club?
Well, I mean, they're fourth last on the ladder, so I don't think anyone should be getting any favours. I mean, it's the group comes first, the team comes first. And at this point of time, I think, OK, apart from maybe persevering with youth a little bit, I mean, 3-5, they're not completely out of the equation, but probably not going to play finals. So, OK, you've got to persevere with youth a little bit. That's part of the cycle. But, you know, when Melbourne had a really bad game last week, and who was the other team you were talking about? Adelaide Crows. I mean, it's a matter of who. You almost forfeit your positions. The problem is, you know, you got to pick 22.
Yep.
So sometimes you say, well, we can't drop 12 people, and there might have been 12, but God, Adelaide clearly have had a lot of bad games, but Melbourne were, you know, haven't been too bad up until the last game. So you wouldn't be throwing the baby out with the bathwater and just saying, well, we had a bad game against Port, so we completely chuck everything out the door. So, but that's a decision. I saw Harley Bennell play on the Sunday night game against Brisbane,
yep.
And I was singularly unimpressed. You know, there's three phases of footy, as they say. You got to win the contest. Harley Bennell done win contest. Then what do you do with ball in hand? He's pretty good with ball in hand, but he's got no contribution at all to when the opposition got the ball. So it didn't surprise me he was left out of the team after that particular game, because I saw that live. But, you know, again, when they have a bad game, it's a bit like, well, who else could we might be able to give us a bit of a lift somewhere?
There was a massive reaction both from commentators, supporters, members, and finally by the president of Melbourne to that bad game. Lee, I get the feeling there's going to be other bad games, you know, after these four-day breaks, but how do you think Simon Goodwin would have handled it? I thought today when he came out and said he accepted the criticism, he welcomes the pressure, I thought he responded well.
Well, that's all you can do. I mean, no one likes it. I mean, why? How would you like? But the coach, no one player thinks he's responsible for the team performance.
Mm.
But the coach's job is that he has to feel like I'm responsible for the team to performance. So if all of a sudden someone's saying they were pathetic and they were hopeless, Simon Goodwin and his coaching staff, but say the senior coach, it's sort of the buck tends to stop with the senior coach. You're going to feel, in a sense, responsible. So when it gets pointed out by your boss, effectively, how bad the team was, effectively, you're saying, you know, the team was terrible and you're the coach. So no one would like that. And I don't, to be honest, when a president pays out, it's mainly just to appease his own fan base.
Mm.
Because, you know, okay, why is the president saying that? Because the fans are saying, oh, Jared, I used to laugh deep down. You'd be walking through the crowd at quarter time, half time, to back to the rooms or something to talk to the players, and you'd hear these people, if we were playing badly, Collingwood, Brisbane, all the same, if we're playing badly, it'll be, Carn Matthews, get into them. Because the fans are being disappointed.
Get a big
so they out. Want the players want the players to suffer. Because they're making me suffer, as in the fans. So, and I think in those utterings, I thought Glenn Bartlett was just being the fan.
Jared, I mentioned to you last night, albeit off air, you know, would you, if you were Simon Goodwin, potentially throw Tom McDonald back? And maybe that would be at the expense of his brother Oscar. Now, they've both been dropped. What's better for Tom's confidence, do you think? Finding his form in a lower level or going back to where he started and maybe just getting his hands on the footy?
Well, he's got to basically find some energy from somewhere and some enthusiasm, because he's not playing with any of it, and they want him to be the bullocky type forward. I think he's proven he can play that, but he hasn't done it for a long time now, so that's a concern.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised he was dropped, and I'm not surprised Oscar was dropped, because he looked as if he had suffered greatly from the four-day break, Lee. And Tom McDonald, the question now is as much as anything is, you know, can he find that form again, or is it as elusive as the team performance was in 2018. I still think Melbourne can catch up. I think they can win their next two. They're still a game down. That would make them 5-5 and with a game in hand. So I don't see them out of the finals contention, but They look nothing like the side I thought they'd be so far this year.
Well, but they'd been pretty good the previous three weeks.
Yep.
And that was without Tom McDonald. Now, the thought might be, because Tom McDonald's an experienced player, he draws the footy. Like, in other words, when the Melbourne team come forward, they maybe kick the ball to him. When he wasn't there, Wiedemann was getting involved and Luke Jackson was getting involved. So I would not surprise at that one. Okay, we had a really bad... We put Tom McDonald back in the mix, so he was a third tall around Wiedemann and Jackson, and maybe it just didn't work. So we'll go back to what seemed to work for us in the previous 3 weeks. Well, that seems a pretty logical thing to do.
Lee Matthews is here with us for Maccas. More sports day ahead. We are powered by Red Energy. Make the switch today like Jared and I have. And Kia, Australia's best 7-year factory warranty.
You've got some big breaking news.
Well, we know there's late changes. There's 8 at Adelaide, and they are just the changes. And there's 4 at Melbourne. Remember, Tomlinson is back. Both McDonald's are out. But I do have some late change breaking news.
Big news.
Jared, out of Metricon Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it surrounds one of the greatest of all time. And I think... I've had it confirmed that Lee Matthews might have actually done that hammy.
No, minor. It was only a little twinge, I'm just saying, but I just felt a little crampy twinge opening the window. I thought, this is how my body's degraded over the years.
So Lee, if it was a grand final, you'd be running out to play?
If it was amongst the over 65s, I probably would just about make it.
Time now, though, for this.
Quickly becoming my favourite moment of the week, Jared.
Yeah, I like the music, I must admit. And it is a reading from the Gospel. According to Matthews, we begin tonight, chapter 1, talks about another exception to the rule.
Well, the Nick Natanui thing. I mean, I watched most of that game, but he did some magnificent moments, but they're moments. And I looked at his, he had 10 disposals. He had a lot of hit-outs, 34 hit-outs, half, it was about 8 to advantage, a couple of clearances, but... I kind of think to myself, Jesus, people love it when it seems like a set play. That one where he popped the ball in and Josh Kennedy came through and kicked the goal. People are hysterical about that set play coming off, you know. So, he was very good. But let's not say he broke, you know, like it was God's gift to the world of football.
I did a comparison between Melbourne's clearance work and West Coast last night. Didn't make the show, and we'll get it up later on in the weekend. But it just goes to show how, I mean, the combination of the ground level player and the bloke in the air is the classic. I mean, so much of it is attributed to the hit out. But the work that the West Coast players are doing for each other makes it look like a machine. That doesn't come off all the time. You've got to get the right bounce, etc. But you can clearly see them blocking space for each other. They have preordained ideas, very creative. I think Melbourne, that's where they're lacking at the moment. It all looks a little bit ad hoc. And they need to, I think, make more use of what Big Max is providing. Chapter 2, Lee, why is it so?
Oh, Professor Julius Sumner Miller used to have a show back in my youth, and he used to say, why is it so? Now, this is a why is it so. I remember, Jared, back in the 70s and 80s, sometimes the umpire would pay 60 free kicks in a game,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Now, these days, we know that the free kicks are coming half. They're 30 to 40. But the tackling, back in those days, there'd be about 20 tackle per team. Now it's 70 or 80 per team. How come there's more contact but much less in the way of free kicks? Why is that so?
Well, you are regarded as the equivalent of Professor Sumner Miller, Lee. Why do you think it's so?
Because the umpires don't apply the rules is probably the most logical conclusion, because the basic rules haven't changed in terms of the contact rules between ball getter and tackler. But it's just a strange set of numbers that actually just don't seem to add up.
A lot of discussion and almost a rebellion against the focus of protection for the tackler rather than the man going the ball on the back of the Ash McGrath decision, Lee. Now, whether or not you like the rule or you thought it was correctly attributed or interpreted, it doesn't really matter. But it sparked in me a thought, and it was one that emanated from a great mentor of yours, Alan Jeans, who for year after year after year tried to convince those running the game that anybody not on their feet couldn't pick up the ball. They had to simply knock it on. So if you went to the ground, you couldn't grab the footy. You had to knock it on.
Well, that tends to be the way it's been umpired, isn't it, really? If you go to ground and the ball stays under you and three blokes jump on top of you, it's not holding in, it's not in the back, it's actually holding the ball. That's the way it tends to be adjudicated. But, it's a difficult one because we know, and all these are offshoots of congestion, because of the game is so congested so often, when a player picks up the ball, there's sort of half a dozen opposition players all within a step. So all of a sudden, if the first tackler doesn't get you, the second one will get you. But the fact that there is less free kicks paid, seems to me that there's much more contact, but less free kicks.
Chapter 3.
The umpires mustn't be applying the rules, Jared.
Chapter 3, Lee, has to be short and sharp, but a bitter fight looms for home final, grand final advantage always. But what about this year?
Well, it took 15 years for the AFL to say that you earned the home state advantage for every final except the grand final. And we accept the grand final has a bit of a neutral look about it at the MCG. But this year, it appears that if we're hearing that all the finals, for instance, could be in at the Gabba in Queensland, the home state advantage is completely gone from the lexicon. I tell you what, if it's in Gabba, Brisbane should be about 2-1 for the premiership, I reckon.
Lee Matthews there, and the gospel there for Polaris Off-Road Australia. Follow them on Instagram today. The Lions, of course, Jared, looking to beat Richmond for the first time since 2009. Mm. The best that day, just having a look at the match report, Black, Brown, Power, Patful, Merritt.
Not that long ago.
He wasn't coaching that day, but Lee would have had those guys in his best
finished.
A fair few times.
No, I was finished. That was the year after I finished, but clearly the Lions have had a pretty bad period. Most of that period, the last decade, it's only the last couple of years they got right up the top again.
Lee, have a great call for 3AW. Appreciate your time tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Lee Matthews has been here for Macca's. Head to Macca's for a fast, safe and contact-free drive-through experience.
Time for a Sports Day news update for Tyre Power. Awarded Canstar Blues most satisfied customers again. That's back to back.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We've got a sports update all for the good people at Tyre Power. And as we mentioned, some big team news. So Oscar McDonald and Tom McDonald, the brothers, dropped at Melbourne. Joining Mitch Hannon as well as being dropped. Tomlinson back, Bennell back, Vandenberg back. Some big changes at Adelaide as well. Bryce Gibbs, I don't think anyone's actually surprised now that he's been dropped. I think for a fifth time since he...
Surely that would be it. I mean, it might be a farewell game, but surely that's it in Adelaide.
Will anyone want him next year?
Well, it's hard to say, but I guess on the surface of it, my immediate answer would be no, but... There may be somebody who takes him on a really restricted contract and think that they can find something, because it's surely not his body that is given away.
No, I agree. I reckon the biggest story there, Jared, is Rory Atkins. Just having a look at him.
Yep.
So he's been dropped. He's sitting on 101 games. He's 26, so he's at the peak of his powers. He was a good player for Adelaide when they were good.
Yep.
Played in every game in 2017 when they went all the way to the grand final. And since then... he probably hasn't been the player that he was, but I think he's out of contract, Rory Atkins.
Well, there's a lot of people out of contract, and there's a lot of people, not really in great form. A lot of people I don't think were as committed to the season as they should have been early in the piece, and then they had to deal.
And you foresaw that?
Well, I think that if you're not committed and then you've got the 8-week break...
Hard to get back.
And I'll tell you a group that are committed, and I know they were committed through that 8 weeks off, and that's the St Kilda Football Club. And that's why I've got no doubt they're playing the best footy of their collective years at the present time. They just, I think, got the rhythm right. West Coast Eagles have proved that you can get it back to a degree because they were as flat as the proverbial Shies and Carter's hat. Thank you, Rex. But they have, they've turned on some really good footy. And I think that we all thought that they were just about shot 4 or 5 weeks ago. Well, many people did anyway. So it's very interesting to see the players that are struggling. I think many of them are the ones who really weren't that committed to the season when it was under threat.
And after being left out for a game, Ben Brown and Jared Pollock are back for the Kangas. I never understood the Jared Pollock one. I still don't understand.
I asked a question last night of Gary Lyon. Do you think he would have been dropped had they not been playing Adelaide?
And the answer was?
He didn't know the answer to that, and we don't know the answer to that. I thought Greg Bourne put in a really good effort today in The Age.
He only does good efforts.
Well, he wrote a column about the holding the ball conundrum, and I find it really interesting. I think a lot of people go to the game as much as we talk about admiring the ball player and admiring this and admiring that, most people go to the game looking for the ball player to get tackled and yelling out ball. It just seems to be one of those gladiatorial elements that people enjoy.
Yeah, it's a great column by Bormie. And the Cats welcome back their captain, Selwood, and the recruit, Jack Stevens. Several key inclusions ahead of that game against North Melbourne. Sad news for GWS. Both Toby Green and Matt DeBoer to miss 2 to 3 games each.
And condolences to Edward Maguire and the Maguire family, who lost their mum today.
Yeah, always tough losing a parent. We're all thinking of you, Eddie. Our thoughts go out to you. That was this is Sports Day for Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Time now, Scoop, to talk up the Click Frenzy virtual canteen. You can register your club now. And joining us on the line now to discuss the virtual canteen again is Click Frenzy CEO Grant Arnott. And for the first time, the president of the Diamond Valley Women's Football Club in John Rally. Welcome to you guys. And if we can just start with you, John, and look at this initiative from a community perspective. Your club has signed up. Tell us why and how's it working?
We've signed up, but we haven't started yet because the season didn't eventuate, and we're gearing up now for 2021, which I think will be a real challenge for local sporting clubs, given that we've had no season in 2020, and it's still up in the air as to what 2021 will be like.
But I guess that makes the virtual canteen even more important for you.
Yes, in terms of fundraising, because fundraising sort of puts in, I think it's around about 35% of our income to keep the club going, and registration fees are another 30%, and then other activities contribute the rest. It's always a tight time to local clubs. Sponsorship in this day and in this particular climate is shrinking rapidly, and yet we want to put our players on the field and give them the experience of both football skills and social development. I think particularly in our juniors, our focus is very much on providing confidence, giving them confidence that they can tackle things that perhaps they thought they wouldn't be able to tackle in terms of playing football.
Grant, welcome back to you. We spoke to you about this initiative last week when you were launching it. Give us an update on the fundraiser and how it's going with the clubs involved.
Yeah, look, it's gathering steam, and it's great to have clubs like John's club, the Diamond Valley Women's Football Club, on board. So it's still happening on August 20, so nothing's transpired yet other than clubs signing up. It's happening at a good rate of knots. The word's getting around, and we're really excited about this fundraising initiative because it's getting worse by the day across Australia, it looks like. So certainly sport's going to be one of the worst affected areas, and we just think this will be a nice thing to do, all upside, and we're just hoping to get some good support.
And just ahead of clubs, get involved in the virtual canteen with us again.
Yeah, pretty easy. Just go to clickfrenzy.com.au. Anyone from the club can do it and just register. It's a pretty simple form, and then we'll get in contact with you and let you know what's next in terms of what happens on August 20. But basically, coming around to August 20, we're going to be pushing it pretty hard with a lot of national marketing alongside our Click Frenzy event, and doing our best to get people behind raising money for these clubs by buying a virtual pie, buying a virtual sausage roll, and helping out clubs like John's and hundreds of others across Australia that are really doing it tough with sport cancelled.
I did ask you to get the cream bun on the menu of the canteen last week, but given how cold it is today, with winter actually starting unofficially in Victoria, I think it's a hot pie, maybe even a sausage roll with plenty of sauce.
Good on you, John, and thanks to you, Grant. Free virtual canteen for sporting clubs. It's at clickfrenzy.com.au. So that's our show for tonight, Jared. We're coming up to near Bounce Time, about 10 minutes away. Who wins and why? Just to get creative, Jared?
To get creative, I'm thinking the Tigers will win. I've got my question marks over the Brisbane Lions only because of the four-day break. But if they come out firing and they've found the solution, then it's going to be a hell of a game. To be honest, Scoop, I don't really care who wins tonight. I just want to see these two really entertaining sides go head-to-head, kick more than 10 goals apiece, take some marks, kick some long goals. Dusty turn on a few of his tricks. Nobody tag Lockie Neal, so we know it's the ball's going to be going in there. Charlie Cameron to get the motorbike out three or four times.
Yeah.
Give us some entertainment, gents. Give us some highlights that the great game actually was built for.
You know who I'd love, Jared, to just announce himself tonight? Because I reckon he's got the capabilities, but hasn't done it so far, and that's Eric Hipwood.
Yeah.
I think the Brisbane Lions would be...
We've been given a taste, haven't we?
Yeah, but I think the Brisbane Lions could be 5, 10% better team with a 200-centimetre key forward kicking goals. They don't come around very often. We know that. He looks like he's got all of the skill set. It's just if he can put it all together.
And we've got two aspiring ruckmen going head-to-head. I like the way Marvia Chol is heading.
Don't worry about him. You want to get to the next guy.
But I like the Big O. I think the Big O
Do you really like him? I didn't notice watching the couch.
I do like the Big O on the way he's developing nicely. He's one that the Brisbane Lions would want to sign up long-term.
This has been Sports Day for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy and Kia. Not forgetting our friends at Wilson Homes. The footy is coming up. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.